A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and you can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with the Deputy Commissioner, Jeff Pope, from the Australian Electorate. And Australian Electoral Commission happening here in Yarrabah this morning, and to our mob there, Rural Transaction Centre. Get down there and check it out, have a yarn, have a cuppa with this deadly mob. But we'll have a yarn with Jeff and regarding his journey and what he tends to do. Very good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Yeah, really well. Good morning to you, Trevor.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. And look, a very important hat that you wear. Tell us the hat that you wear and the job that you do, and tell us why you're in Yarrabah today.
Yeah, look, as a Deputy Electoral Commissioner at the Australian Electoral Commission, obviously responsible for managing the electoral roll nationally and also delivering the federal election and any by-elections. But the main reason we're here in Cairns and having these conversations with the community is really to talk about the gap that exists between enrolment rates for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders compared to the normal enrolment rate.
Their numbers are low, as in First Nation people?
Yeah, unfortunately they are, Trevor. You know, the overall enrolment rate in Australia is about 96.5%. But when you break that down and you have a look at Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, it's about 78%. So we've got nearly a 20% gap there between eligible Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who could be enrolled, as you know, when they turn 18, who just aren't on the roll.
And
we're just trying to close that 20% gap and understand from the community and Aboriginal organisations what some of the challenges are for people to get on the electoral roll.
And that's why you're having these so-called yarning circles, having a cuppa with the mob, and find out what is the so-called red tape, brick walls, what's stopping, preventing them. I like to think as an individual, sometimes we think that like our vote doesn't matter, but in actual fact it does, Jeff.
It absolutely does, and we do hear that a bit, and not just here on in far north Queensland, we hear that around the country, and it absolutely does matter. I mean, your vote is your voice, and we have very close elections around the country when the federal election happens. Sometimes you have votes and seats divided decided by less than 1,000 votes, and every vote absolutely does matter, and every preference that you put on your voting paper actually matters as well.
So your vote, it was talking about, like you said, a voice. If you don't like the way your state or your country or your city, your town, your community is running, have that vote.
Yeah.
And that's how you have changes if you want changes.
That's right.
Things
don't change if they don't change, and things don't change if you choose not to vote either. You've got to vote. You've got to have a voice. That is your avenue to have your say in the federal government and how the federal government takes shape.
Okay. And is there a cost to become a voter as such?
No.
Be in an electoral role?
Absolutely not, no. And you can enrol online on our website, which is at aec.gov.au. And you can print down print enrolment papers if you need to. You can pick them up from the post office. But most people these days actually enrol via our website.
Okay, fantastic. So you had a gathering yesterday at the Nutrigani Aboriginal Corporation, McCormack Street, there in Cairns. How was the turn up there?
Yeah, it was great. We had a great representation. We had elders, which was terrific, and they brought a really rich perspective. And we also had a couple of younger people come along as well, which was also terrific, and they bring a different perspective.
Sure. So when do people meet with you for that cuppa, for that yarn, can they sign up there and then with you?
Well, yeah, we're happy to do that. We've got enrolment forms with us, and those that aren't on the electoral roll, we're happy to take their enrolment then and there. It's a very quick and easy process.
Sure. Yeah, fantastic. And then when people go to vote, then they just give their name, and they've got those big muscly books at the voting booths. Just tick your name off, and then you've done your bit. Your voice is heard, so to speak.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You'll get asked your name and your address and whether you voted in the election before, and then you get your name crossed off. You'll get your ballot papers, and you go off to the polling booth. And you know, your vote is secret. No one knows who you vote for, but your vote counts, and your vote is immensely important.
Sure. And when you look at First Nation people, we've got our advocate for our issues. Having a vote helps with those issues.
That's right.
The outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in a representative democracy. Everyone everyone's in an electorate. Every electorate has got a member of parliament. You know, that person is sitting in parliament. They are representing those 100,000 people or thereabouts that actually live in their community.
Yep.
And, you know, they are your avenue to parliament, and they are your avenue to the future.
Sure.
And, you know, your vote, your vote is driving that avenue and driving that future.
Okay, fantastic. So you had a yarn here in Cairns, and now you're in Yarrabah today. How often do you do these yarning circles and cuppa with the communities? And is it only in Far North, or where else have you been?
Look, at the moment, about every 3 weeks we've been having these community discussions. We started off in Mildura in Victoria, then we went to Dubbo in New South Wales, and then a couple of weeks ago we were over in Port Augusta.
Whoa, in Big Island.
In South Australia.
That's a journey and a half,
yeah,
isn't
yeah.
it?
Well,
cut lunch?
You know, it's a big country.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And there's lots of diverse communities out there. And,
sure.
And every community is different, and it's important for us to try and get around to as much of Australia as
sure.
we possibly can.
Does it get political when you're having those conversations, cuppas with people?
Oh, look, sometimes it does. I mean, sometimes
but
it goes.
You're not a party as such, are you?
No, we're absolutely not a
Thank
party.
You.
In fact, we are entirely apolitical. We just manage the voting process. We have nothing
yeah.
at all to do with the politics.
Don't shoot the messenger.
and sometimes people struggle to understand that, and
sure.
they want to shoot the messenger, and sometimes they see a bureaucrat coming out of Canberra,
yeah.
you know, a good opportunity to
hone in
and send some pretty strong messages, and that's okay. But
sure.
but look, we are absolutely not political. We're
sure.
we're completely apolitical. We
okay.
manage the independent voting process.
Mm. A promoter and an educator, you could say.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. Yep. Raising awareness all around the country, and it is a big country out there, and we look forward to getting around to more of it.
Oh, there you go. So very important. So, Mob the Yarrabah, congratulations. You can have a chat to the Australian Electoral Commission happening there at the Rural Transaction Centre. And that's from 9:30, still running now. So find some time to get over there, have a cuppa, have a yarn, and talk about the future ahead. Have your say, have your vote.
Yep. Great.
So, Jeff, nice talking to you. All the best to you and your team. Travel safe and keep smiling.
You too. Thanks, Trevor.
All right. A beautiful yarn there with Jeff Pope, his name is, the Australian Electoral Deputy Commissioner, and they're having cuppas and yarns about the electoral participation. So get involved. If you want something said, have your voice been heard. That's what it's all about. Have your say. And yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. Give me a call if you want to talk further on that topic here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with the border on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
put it on your mouth. It's me, Bushtaka Bunji, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Jackie was a smart young fella, full of fun and energy. He was thinking of getting married, but his woman ran away, you see. Cricketa poopala, wildy maha. Naja in Garywa. Now Jackie used to chase those emus with his spears and what he's to. He's the only fella who can tell you what the emu told the kangaroo. Cricketa boopala, wildy maha. Billy Nadja in Garywa.
Yeah, can't beat language, her pattern there. Jackie here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with the bully on Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, going to catch up with countrymen. Got Alec Dumiji on the line, Aboriginal activist and chairman of the 1 year native title Aboriginal Corporation. Talk about sacred sites, the last frontier, that's happening again. And got the brother on the line, my brother Alec. Good morning, how are you? Alec, you there? Cast going walkabout. Alec Dumiji, you want to yarn to your brother. I'll try and get that brother back online. And I know he's got a bee in his bonnet regarding what's sacred site, what's happening on his country there, and the destruction of sacred sites. So he wants to talk about that. No Name Hill. Also, the Discovery Hill, 10-mile waterhole, men's ceremony ground. So, environmental dramas going on there on his country there. 1 year, which is country belongs to me, and a big shout out to my mob up that way. That's on my dad's side, and look, we'll try and catch up with that deadly brother, Alec Dumiji. Like I said, Aboriginal activist and chairman of the 1 year native title Aboriginal Corporation. And we're going to talk about the bee in the bonnets in regard to sacred sites, what's happening on country, and also the last frontier celebration that's coming up. I think I got him now. Alec, you there? Good morning.
I'm here, brother. Good morning to you. Brother. And a big hello to all your listeners. Good to be amongst your mob. And Maraganyi now, language Maraganyi.
My brother, thank you for coming to the program. Great to hear your voice again, my brother. First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Well, I've got bloodline connections back to the Gungalida people, my countrymen Marunu Yanan mob, Gungalida, and also Garawa from my grandfather's side. Mother mob got a bit of Gungalida, Garawa, and Wanyi blood, and my stepfather was a true tribal Wanyi, Garawa. Elder and leader. Beautiful. And big staunch lawman for Wanyi mob.
So. You got good blood, brother. Come from good blood, brother. Good blood.
I hope so, because they're deadly people.
That's right. I'm connected there, my brother. Good to hear your voice, brother. And look, thank you for coming. You got a bee in your bonnet. Let's talk about what's happening with Jungan Gorge over there across the way. But sacred sites are being destroyed. And we're talking about something that's happening on 1 year country. Please tell us what's going on there, brother.
Oh, well, look, I guess it's not a bee in my bonnet. I'm pretty happy and very confident and I guess very respectful of what I'm doing. I've always done. Done things for the people, by the people, with the people. And I come with their authority and the authority of my board of directors. And also with the cultural law side, I come with cultural law standing that I've worked over 45 years of my life to gain and to get that respect, to be able to sit the fire with proper law people from the Lower Gulf region. Mm. So, you know, when I speak and when I say things, I make sure I'm very, I guess, respectful of all the different people and different layers that I represent.
True.
I want to quickly just say this, because I only just got a phone call 5 minutes ago. I want to send out my love and respect to the Gallagher family and the Oki family and Dumiji. One of my best mates from high school, I just got a message telling me that he passed away.
Condolences.
He was a proper Wanyi man, a proper Wanyi warrior, and someone that I really loved and respected. And he and I went all through, you know, school together, and, you know, he was only 45, 46 years old.
Very young.
You got a phone call just then to tell me that we lost him this morning. And
condolences, my brother. Condolences. Yeah. So
and,
sorry.
And, you know, it's funny because when things like this happen, it reiterates to me and it makes me reminisce about why I got into the work that I do. And you know, one of the things he and I have been talking about for the last 2 years was him and his family relocating to a place called Rankin on the Wanyi native title. Rankin is a spot that his family bloodline connection story songs, you know, from his grandmother goes back to, and he was really, really excited about moving back to Rankin from Mount Isa because, you know, he's been suffering a lot of health issues lately. Mount Isa being on a dialysis with kidney failure.
Well, he's traveling there on country freely now, my brother.
I know, you know, he'll be flying back up there now, and I can see, you know, we've had all these aspirations and goals about having him back on country with his family, you know, living and breathing and just working up there. So, you know, it's actually, I guess, serendipity. It's a bit of a crazy kind of thing to be sitting here talking to you now, brother, about what we're doing up on Wine. So, look, back to what's going on up there. I don't know if you know much about the Juukan Gorge destruction over in Western Australia last year when Rio Tinto destroyed.
Made headline news. We yarn about it many times here on Black Media. Yep.
Exactly. So this is... So the federal parliament and all the white fellas in power, you know, in all their wisdom, decided to set up a Juukan Gorge Inquiry Committee, which consists of, you know, Warren Snowden, I think Pat Dodgson, Lydia Thorpe, and a fair few others on that committee to go and investigate it. Now, as you know, I've been sort of, I guess, involved with all the Wanyi decisions and stuff happening on Wanyi land for the past 6 years since coming back involved with you know, the Wanyi Native Title Aboriginal Corporation. Some of the, let's just say, fellows that were in power with the Wanyi Native Title bodies before, I guess, have their noses out of joint from some of the things we've been doing up there and how we've been conducting ourselves. And, you know, we make sure the people are aware. We consult the people. Our books are always presented to the people each year. We have our AGMs on country. We let everyone know what's happening, where we're doing it, and we let the people make the decision around the things. These other mobs used to be sitting pretty and getting all the benefits and not sharing it, which has been happening all across the country. Native title is a flawed... Let me first say this. Native title is a white man construct of law and culture and the way black fella should do business. And they set native title up for us to try and, I guess, navigate through the white business world to try and find some, you know, economic, relief for our mob and find some, you know, a foundation for a base to go into business. So white men have set this up. So if you're telling me now that you set it up to fail, you need to fix it and find a better way forward.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick of what they do is they create confusion, create chaos, and they make white black fellas fight against each other while they sit back and laugh and keep rolling in the wealth, which has been going on for way too long. So back to my gripe at the moment. So this mob of, I guess, let's just say Alec Doomadgee haters, because that's the truth, they just don't like me.
Well, they say, brother, put your head above the trousers, you're going to get hit with tomatoes. So you're tuned on them tomatoes, brother.
Brother, I'm a happy-go-lucky fella, and I pride myself on being very likable by everybody, by the masses. But, you know, Murrindy always says to me, Murrindy Anna says to me, goes, you know, you're not going to please everybody. Somebody's going to hate you somewhere along the line. So
you're on track.
Oh, I like everybody liking me.
You're on track, brother, yeah.
Yeah, but then I said to myself, well, I must be doing the right thing if I got people hating me. So, you know.
Keep doing it.
Yes, I'll keep doing it. So this group has decided to go and contact the Juukan Gorge Inquiry Committee to come and investigate what we're doing up at Century Mine around a site called Magazine Hill. There's a big story today in The Australian about it.
Yep.
And it's created a bit of
ruckus?
Uproar amongst... all the Wanyi people on country that are living in abject poverty, that are suffering, that have been getting a lot of help from us, and the decision they made, democratic decision they made to move ahead with what they wanted to do on their land.
Yep, and got the right to do that.
So this Juukan Gorge Inquiry Committee met in Mount Isa with these, let's just say, dissenters or, again, haters of Alec Doomadgee, and their one gripe around everything was that they needed to get rid of the board, namely get rid of Alec Doomadgee, so they could be the ones in control of making decisions. Now, I'll say this. Previous to 2014, 2015, they were the ones in control for almost 14 years.
Okay, and new heads at the table.
Mate, since I've been involved, my brother, we've done nothing but try and support the people in country, and our record speaks for itself. If you go and look at the Wanyi Native Title Body records before previous to 2015, you'll see there isn't any. Go onto the ORAC website. Go and ask anybody in the Gulf communities what they've done for the people up there. Go and look at AFTRA, the record that, that me and my board and our directors and I guess the people that attended our meeting, what we've done. Have a look at our records. Have a look at what's on the ORAC website. Have a look at what we delivered with the Gulf Country Fundy Days Festival. Have a look at the training contracts we've currently got in place with the Badangu educational program, where from Monday to Friday, mate, we finance kids driving from Gregory down to Burketown to get an education in the white man's world.
Okay, beautiful, brother. And with that process, democracy, so you have an annual general meeting, you have votes, and then they vote the next board of directors. That's how it works, doesn't it?
Exactly, exactly. So in 2014, I was voted on along with another five. There was five of us, and our terms go for 4 years, just like a council and just like a presidency, because we believe you've got to do 4 years and able to achieve some of the goals you want to achieve. So that went until 2018, and then we were re-elected in 2018, and we upped the numbers to eight people because we had a bit more money to be able to fly eight people around to meetings and whatnot.
Sure.
So we've currently got eight directors on the board, democratically elected at a meeting in Burketown, where we hold most of our meetings these days due to no facilities being in Doomadgee. Back in 2017, 2018, our last meeting, I guess, on Wainee, because Gungalita country is Burketown. Okay. And there's also this big issue around, us having meetings on Gungalita country. Yet the previous board and all other boards that come out of Century Zinc might have their meetings in Mad Eyes or on Calcutta land or in towns or Cairns.
Sure.
So it's a bit hypocritical for them to throw stones at me when they're living in glass houses, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure, yep.
But back to the you know, Gungalita, Wainee, Gadawa, Ladil, Mopamonji, we were neighbours and we've always worked together, we've always fought together, and most of our mob are married intertwined with each other.
Yeah, but if you look at it, brother, if you look at it, what is it, a four-year term?
Yeah.
So they've just got to run with what the board is running with in regarding decisions. And if you don't like it, 4 years' time, step up to the plate, throw your hat in the arena.
Well, it's not just that, brother. We hold all – this is the difference between our current board and the previous board. We hold all our meetings out in the open. We consult everybody. Everyone gets a letter to come to the meeting.
Okay.
They get
beautiful.
A month out. They get
How transparent is that?
It is as transparent as you can be. If your brother, even Stevie Wonder could see what I'm doing.
Thank you, brother.
Like, that's how transparent it is. You know, like, anyway, so they decided, because they weren't in control anymore and they weren't getting, you know, all the money going into one family group and one mob, they got a problem with it. I just also said that the same mob have strategically taken over the Lawn Hill and Riversley Pastoral Company through their dealings with Century Zinc Mine, which is a $100 million property that is an asset of the Wainee people as a whole. So they're also controlling that. Now, last year, we were in negotiations talking with the Dells Grove Tourism Park up near Lawn Hills Gorge, where we were going to end up running, you know, the Wainee Ranger program to the PBC. We were going to run our festival there. We were going to have our Wainee Cultural Arts and Cultural Center there.
Yep.
Unknown to us, these mob that hate us so much went behind our backs and made a purchase of a Dells Grove. And then we were sitting and holding our thumbs going, oh, my God, what's going on? Because we rang the owners and went, hey, we're going to make you an offer, because we were dealing with the ILSC, the Indigenous Land and Sea Corporation, which is set up to help PBCs buy properties on their native title, such as the Mossman Gorge mob, what's happened up there. That's come to the ILSC and then dealings with the IBA and ILSC. We were trying to do the same thing with the Dells Grove, but we got hijacked by our own mob that have their own agenda to benefit for themselves. You understand?
Yeah, I'm hearing you, brother. I'm hearing you. So they're virtually...
Hello, you there, brother?
Yeah, can you hear me? Hello? Alec? Nah, they cut me out. We'll try and get you back. That's Alec Doomadgee there. Explain the situation regarding the First Nation mob up there, First Nation people, the one-year Gungalita mob, in regard to the democracy process and with the new board on board and the dramas that are happening outside, well, inside and all the above. We'll try and get him back online to continue that conversation. Black Media here, jumping on board and having that conversation with Alec Doomadgee. Try again. You there, Alec Doomadgee?
I'm here, brother. Look,
yeah, brother, they're listening. They're listening, Cuss. They're listening.
Which way?
Yeah, brother, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. I think someone's trying to hijack.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Hijacking the yarn here. But brother, what I'm picking up, brother, it becomes like anybody can start a corporation or organization, but then you have like five, six different organizations, and all like say running for the same water hole or fighting for the same water hole. There's got to be a better way of doing it. We've got to get it together. You feel? Yep.
Well, let me just quickly say this. Again, this is where the white man has set us up to start infighting. All right? Let's go back to what I'm talking about. The native title legislation.
And they love that when we're fighting with each other, don't they?
Well, let me just quickly say this.
Yep.
The native title legislation, which came out of the Mabo decision from 1992, right, was ripped apart by John Howard in 1997. And we've got the pretty much weak piece of paper and legislation we're dealing with now. Now, here's what the white system tells you. The current system, the federal and state system, tells you this. You must make a native title claim. You go through their white man court system for 10 years. After it's determined and you prove beyond doubt with their white archaeologists, the white anthropologists, the white lawyers, that you belong to that area, you must then set up a governing body. Guess what that governing body is for? A prescribed body corporate, a PBC.
PBC.
Or a native title organization, which is what I'm on. The Wanyi Native Title Aboriginal Corporation is the governing body for the native title area, over Lawn Hill, over that whole area. So therefore...
That's the lead organisation in regard to native title, then.
Let me just say this. It is the government of the Wanyi people. So when you want to deal with anything to do with state or federal government, you must come to that recognised body.
The one-stop shop. Yep. That's the office
but
you deal with.
Now, what is happening now, brother, is that white man system, the Jukan Gorge Inquiry Committee, the federal government, have gone and spoken to them off on the sideline. So they're telling me that after 20 years of fighting for my native title, setting up this governing body, this government, I'm basically the president or the prime minister of my people. They're telling me that that's insignificant and that you don't have to come talk to me.
A toothless tiger.
So, brother, what do I do? You're a white man, you're telling me to go one way, but then you go on and you change.
And you go another way.
You're moving the goalpost again. You're moving the goalpost again, brother.
Exactly, brother. Frustrating.
You can't have it two ways. You either have it one way or the other. So I want to say this right now. Our board and our people up on country in Doomadgee are up in arms, and we're not going to take it anymore. We are making a stand against the federal government. We are making a stand against the Jukan Gorge Inquiry Committee, and we're making a stand against the state government about their treatment and their disrespect to our governing body.
Yeah.
So we've set out an official letter from our board of directors and from the people that held a protest meeting in Doomadgee last Tuesday. The letter's gone to the official Jukan Gorge Inquiry Committee, which will be up on... If you want to check it out, it'll be up on their website. It'll be up on the official thing. Our letter basically stating, you want to talk to us? You come out on our country, we'll take you out and show you where these sacred sites are going to be destroyed, that were destroyed. And let me be very clear here, brother, only very clear. Before Alec Doomadgee got involved with the Wanyi Prescribed Body Corporate, the Wanyi Native Title, back in 2014-15, there's over six very, very important major sacred sites that were destroyed. No Name Hill was one. There was another one called Discovery Hill. There's also the Men's Initiation Ceremony Ground, known as 10 Mile Waterhole, that these previous mob destroyed in 2009. Didn't consult with the people, didn't tell the people, got big payout, went for a trip around the world. So you tell me who's doing the right thing, brother.
Exactly, brother.
I'm sick of people chucking mud at me and having a go at me, but their history says differently.
Yeah, well, when they chuck a mud, they're losing ground, brother. So, you know.
Well, I also hate bad-mouthing and going up against my own people because I know we live in a chaotic world where the white man is the real overlord and is the power through everything we try and do.
Yeah.
And the system is set up to stifle me and to put obstacles in the way of me so that I cannot dig my people out of economic hardships. I cannot dig them out of abject poverty. I can't give them self-determination or self-governance because you're continually changing the rules.
Yes, exactly.
So that I can't do that.
Yes.
So tell me, what can I do, brother?
Your hands are tied, brother. Damn if you don't, brother.
How do I stop my people from committing suicide? How do I get that rope out of their hands from killing themselves? How do I stop them from alcohol and drug abuse? How do I stop all this abuse that's going on in communities?
When you keep moving the goalposts, is what you're saying, brother.
And I'm sick to my stomach of it, and I'm a really, really respectful, honest, upfront man, brother. I carry myself in that way, and I always have.
Brother.
And I'll never stop just because I see my own mob in this chaotic mess that even they can't see. They're in and they're part of the system, and they're indoctrinated into a white man's playing field. We're playing a game that is owned and operated and by a white man. It's just like right now, rugby league, right? Peter Vallandis changed the rules as he go.
Exactly.
What Morrison and the white man government doing to me.
Yep.
Changing the rules in rugby league as they go. Changing the rule in the Wanyi PBC and other PBCs. This is going to have an effect on every native title in Australia.
Of course.
It's a big deal.
And of course, well, you keep moving the goalposts. We're supposed to toe the line and jump through the hoops. There's no... You there, brother? Can you hear me?
Cutting out on me again.
Yeah, can't. Can you hear me, brother? No. Yarning up strong there, that's Alec Dumigi, and talking about his frustration in regard to government and the policies and how to steer his mob into the future. We'll try and get him back online. He's talking about sacred sites, and we're going to also have a yarn about the Last Frontier, the golf country festival that they have up there at Bergtown. On a one-year country, and he's part of the, well, he's one of the board directors of the one-year PBC. We'll try and get him back along, try again. You there, my brother? Got you?
I'm here.
Yeah, brother, yeah, beautiful. Yeah, but it's hard to progress when they keep changing the rules and, like you said, moving the goalposts, very hard to do, and it creates angst amongst ourselves, our mob. It is frustrating, my brother.
It is. Well, look, I also want to, before I get cut off again by your aliens there that are tapping
shut
in
up, yeah, yeah.
All my haters, I want to say this. Previous to me being involved, there was a lot of sacred sites destroyed for the almighty dollar, and those previous mob benefited greatly. A lot of people, even whiny people, got big contracts up there on site, and nobody worried about it then. They were all happily going to do it.
Yeah.
And look, Aboriginal people, black fellas, unfortunately, it's a necessary evil in our world because white business is not going to stop. Mining not going to stop unless we look at ways to get in there. But these are some of the big sacred sites destroyed. No Name Hill, Discovery Hill, the Men's Ceremony Ground in 2009. Also, a huge deposit of red ochre was dug out of there, out of the pit itself in 2001. You think they stopped production? You think they cared about that? No, brother.
No.
They kept going. Since I've been involved, guess what? No sacred sites have been destroyed up there.
So regarding the one-year PBC, do you feel as though you're a toothless tiger, or are you going to move forward?
Not really. I believe this is a perfect opportunity to address all this stuff that's going on. I think now's the time.
Drive the vehicle, brother. Drive the vehicle forward.
I think every other PBC around the country needs to realise that this is our Mabo moment. This is our Malcolm X moment. This is our I Have a Dream moment.
Yes.
Right now is when... We take the stand that Gary Foley and all them did back in 1972 when they established the 10 Embassy. You know, next year is the 50th year of the 10 Embassy, and we still haven't got what we asked for 50 years ago. And this is the watered-down version of what was being asked for 50 years ago. All you PBCs that are listening, all you mob that fought for native titles, it's your fight too, because they are telling us that our native title is insufficient and is actually invalid. And I agree too. So let's get a validated one up. Let's talk treaty, brother. Let's talk this properly. Let's talk a Truth and Justice Commission. Let's look at all the hardships. While we're standing here, the wealth of this land is coming from mining. Let me tell you something. The wealth that comes out of this country has destroyed sacred sites everywhere. People that walk around in the cities, people walking everywhere, are benefiting from destruction of sacred sites and songlines and law. So do not sit there and be hypocritical against someone that's trying to make the best for his people.
Yeah.
There is one site left. There's one sacred site left there, which is called Magazine Hill. That became... a big issue this year because we've done a different deal and a better deal than was ever done before.
And protect it, brother.
We always wanted to do economic rehabilitation, right?
Yep.
We want to rehab the land, fix it, heal it, spiritually, mentally, physically, right? The mining mob, there's this hill right beside the actual pit. They came to us because we were always trying to negotiate a rehab contract with them, a 20-year rehabilitation contract with them. I want to state this. Every single mine in Queensland, brother, has a clause in it that the state government has still not greenlit. They have a clause that says they must rehabilitate that site.
Yes.
Guess what? Not one of them have been rehabilitated.
Nah.
That's millions of dollars that could be going into Aboriginal communities. Millions of dollars that could
be... Well, they're breaching the contract, aren't they?
Brother, they're reneging on it. They expect us to fight over scraps while they walk away with billions.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is we tried to go for that contract at Century Mine. They then pushed us in a direction that they wanted to mine under Magazine Hill because there's zinc there and there's some money there for them. We got pushed in a situation where we went, okay, let's look at how we get the best for us. So we tied in a rehabilitation contract to that contract because they're telling us, the geologists are telling us, our geologists are telling us, all the reports around it says that hill's going to fall in anyway because the previous owners mined and cut the pit too close to that hill. So you go, hey, I'm in a bad situation. I'm going to try and get the best out of it. When the world hands you lemons, brother, you try and make lemonade.
You do. So
that's what I tried to do.
Yes, brother. Beautiful.
You understand?
Yeah, brother, I'm hearing you.
And just because, brother, I'm a good negotiator and that I use my cultural knowledge and my cultural standing and the cultural heritage management plan and I use cultural law to get the best deal for my people over a long period of time, doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't make me a criminal.
Exactly.
It makes me a good negotiator. You should be patting me on the back. You should be building a friggin' statue like Jonathan Thurston for me.
Yeah, that's right, brother. Alec Dumaji. Fired up, my brother. Thank you very much for sharing, brother. Quickly, the Last Frontier, the festival's happening.
Hi, brother.
Sorry, the Last Frontier festival, that's happening.
I'll say just one thing before I finish off with that sacred site stuff.
Yeah, brother.
You want to know what else I did, brother?
What's
this,
that?
This is how smart you got to be.
Hmm.
When we signed that contract back in 2018 with New Century and with all the powers that be, I said to them, I still want to do a clearance on the hill and I still want to have control of we give you the last consent. So yeah. I took all the lawmen up there. We spent 6 months up there clearing stuff. Yep. And the final paperwork to sign off with it, I went down to Melbourne, stayed in front of them. I went to hand the paperwork over, and I looked him in the eye and I said, yep, you're not getting that one. When you actually give me the contract and give green light to go ahead, we'll then give you this. So I held back the final sign off of the destruction of Magdalen Hill, brother. I want that known because I've never done that.
Okay.
And I won't do it until I actually see the white man keep his promise and stop lying to me and stop pulling the rug from under my people's feet.
Yeah, brother. Strong there, brother. Beautiful.
You got to be
smart. Tactic.
Back to the Gulf Country Frontier Days Festival, brother. Unfortunately, at this stage, we don't have the money to go ahead.
Mm.
We tried to go to the state government for that last year. 2020 was supposed to be a big Indigenous tourism event, and they had all these millions of dollars from the federal government to give to, you know, Indigenous tourist festivals and stuff. Guess what? Alec Dumaji didn't get nothing out of it. Our festival didn't get a cent.
Okay,
we tried our hardest to get money out of them. It cost an arm and a leg to put on those events up in
Yeah, of course they did. Yep.
Like
yes.
And the state government should be ashamed of themselves, and the people in power that make those decisions should be ashamed of themselves, because we're one of the only Indigenous, Aboriginal-run, Aboriginal-owned festivals.
And you missed out, brother.
For the people, by the faith. Brother, we didn't even get a... We got a two-line sentence back in an email. We didn't even get a look. They came back to us and said, unfortunately, your application was declined, blah, blah, blah. Well, thank you very much for that Indigenous tourism money. Again, it's all smoke and mirrors. If you try and stand up and actually try and do something in the business world, they find ways to obstruct you, to stifle you, and to actually keep you subservient and obedient to their power, which is, you know, they want to be the big daddy and mummy, or you can hang off the apron string, begging them.
Mm.
They want to give you a hand up. They want to give you a hand out to keep you obedient to them, brother. And that's what happened with the Gulf Country Front Today's Festival.
Okay, my
We're
brother.
Still looking at
so
ways
sorry to hear
to,
that. Yep.
Look, we haven't given up.
Good.
Mando and I are working on some plans, and we will come back. But yeah,
watch this space.
Working.
All right, my brother.
Watch this space.
One love, Alec. Good talking to you, my cuss. Big shout out, mob up there, and we'll talk soon, cuss.
All right, brother. Take care. Bye-bye.
Alec Dumaji, having you say there, Jan Armstrong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Stay tuned, you mob. 1-800-422-416. And actually, I do have a call on the line. We've got Samantha. Samantha, good morning. My sister, how are you?
I am very well now that I listen to you.
Good to hear your voice.
It's wonderful. You know, Trevor, I wish your program was longer. It's absolutely wonderful.
Too short, you reckon, the 1 hour?
Yes, it's too short. We should have at least 3 hours.
Yeah, hey, I like you. More money for me doing the job. Yeah, fantastic. You should be a marketing manager. I love the way you talk.
Oh, darling, I would willingly do that. I love the gentleman you just had on.
Alec Dumaji is one of our strong activists for our black people, for his mom up there, One Year Gungly. That's Dumaji and Mornington Island, Burktown Way, up there in the Gulf of Carpentaria here in Queensland, my sister.
He's wonderful, isn't
he? Yeah, strong, powerful black man, yes.
You know, this is the only time I've always wished now that I was younger and I could get out and about and be for your what I call the original. This country
original.
Belongs to you.
The original people, yes, the first people. Lovely, that's right. But you being with us and listening to us and being a loyal listener and your support and your good spirit is on side with us, so we appreciate that, my sister.
Oh, darling, you're very welcome. Mm. I'm in love with you. I told my son, John.
Darling.
I've got a boyfriend.
What up, John? Me and your mummy, we tight. Beautiful. You have a good day, my darling.
I will. You too, darling.
Take care. Bye-bye. Samantha from WA and a big supporter of a First Nation radio station, not only this program, not only this station. She just loves our black radio, which is fantastic. And got a non-Indigenous sister there on board, so that's what it's all about. 1-800-422-416. Have you say, you mob.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
422-416.
There is support available for our people who experience sexual abuse as a child in an institution. The National Redress Scheme can provide them and those helping them with safe and respectful support and information provided by culturally competent workers.
For some people, it can be a difficult thing to share their story. They may need help to take the first step towards support.
You can help them to find out more by visiting www.nationalredress.gov.au.
If you're not sure if you can apply or you want to know more, you can also call 1800 737 377.
Station sponsor.
Hey, if your friend wants to have sex, tell him to use a condom.
So if your friend's thinking of having sex, tell him, here's the deal. No condom, no sex. It's that plain and simple. Safe sex will help you protect against sexually transmitted infections. Be young, healthy, and safe. A message from Apuna Pima Cape York Health Cancer. Our health in our hands.
Station sponsor.
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumper Rip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with our CEO of First Peoples Disability Network Australia, that's Damien Rufus, and just talk about the space that he's working in and talk about, our mob, First Nation people with disability, and the future looks a little bit dull in regarding support. And a joint standing committee on the National Disability Insurance Scheme is what we're talking about, and they put a submission in on the line. Damien, very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Good, thanks. Morning, Trevor.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so proud descendant of the Warramai people of the Willamba Valley in New South Wales, around Foster, Cranbach, Nabiak, that part of the state. So.
Oh, beautiful. Good footprint there, my brother. Now, First Peoples Disability Network opposes the introduction of independent assessment as outlined by the National Disability Insurance Agency, NDIA. So these proposals are causing a great deal of distress in our communities. So the gap is so-called widening for our mob with disability, yes?
That's exactly right, Trevor. And we do absolutely oppose the development of independent assessments. They are causing great distress, like you said. There's really no evidence that they are being done in a way that's culturally appropriate. We're really not seeing any evidence that they actually understand, that's the National Disability Insurance Agency, really understand the lived experience of First Nations people with disability, and especially those First Nations people with disability living in regional and remote Australia.
And I suppose that the pandemic, COVID-19, has there once again have highlighted the so-called gap and widening, yes?
Yeah, that's right, Trevor. I mean, we would say it's difficult to think of any more disadvantaged Australians than mob with disability because they often face discrimination based on their indigeneity and or disability. So a lot of our people with disability live in poverty. They don't have access to proper support. And a lot of our families do the best they can to support family members with disability. But there's a very long way to go to be able to meet needs properly.
And what sort of recommendations have you put to NDIA?
Well, the first thing we've said, Trevor, is they need to immediately stop the independent assessments. They need to establish an advisory committee made up of First Nations people with disabilities to provide advice to the NDIA so they can make it work quickly. And we also developed a 10-point plan, actually, almost a decade ago now, Trevor. And those points put forward still stand today. So we need urgent engagement.
Well, the fact they still stand, and 10 years ago, shows that no work has been done in this space.
Yeah, that's right. We would say there's been a few sort of isolated cases where people are getting something out of the scheme, but we would say mostly across the country, most of our mob with disability are missing out, and that's not fair.
So with this, the Joint Standing Committee, so with this information, with your recommendations, who does it go to? Who needs to be need to be hearing this and needs to be acting on it?
Well, the National Disability Insurance Agency itself, but also the new Minister for the National Disability Insurance. So we need a meeting with her straight away. We're very, very disappointed that she hasn't reached out to us yet. And we're going to be taking to her that we need to have an advisory council set up immediately that has First Nations people with disability on it.
Yes.
And they need actually sit down and listen to what's actually needed to make a difference for the lives of First Nations people with disability across Australia.
Well, exactly. I mean, part of the punt, but falling on deaf ears, so to speak, yes?
Yeah, very true. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And look, and we like I said, we are behind the eight ball as in First Nation people and all facets, education, employment, and then when we're talking disabled, it makes it there harder again. And if we're talking about women as well, and black women at that.
That's right. One of our founding elders, Uncle Lester Bostock, we lost in recent times, but he described it very well when he said double disadvantage, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
And that's exactly right. So,
Look, it's a joint standing committee. We're talking about a tiger with teeth here, and robust conversations that need to be had, and you're pushing through it all.
Yeah, and one of the good things about the committee is it has Senator Jordan Steelejohn on it, and he's a man with disability himself. So he's been really interested and a real champion for the needs, and he knows wheelchair user what it's like. So we're hopeful we can get some movement, but we're rapidly running out of patients. In fact, we ran out of patients a decade ago.
Exactly. Exactly. And look, we across the board, First Nation people, we sound like broken records, but we'll still keep singing the song. We're strong for our people, and yeah, we are standing on the grounds of our ancestors, and we ain't going nowhere, Damien.
No, we're definitely not going anywhere. No, we keep saying what we need to say, and yeah, ministers can come and go and all that sort of stuff. Still here. So,
yep, exactly. Look, at the fact that we're having the conversation here on national radio going across the country with National Talk Black, there's another, hey, say, string to the bow, supporting what you are fighting for, my brother. And I thank you for coming to the program. And look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, Damien.
Thank you, Trevor. Thanks for the opportunity. Cheers.
Take care, bro. Bye-bye.
See you.
Adele Yan there, the CEO of First Peoples Disability Network Australia, Damien Griffiths, and the Joint Standing Committee on National Disability Insurance Scheme, and talking about the space that our people as First Nation people with disability, where they're sitting in, and not sitting in a good space in that sense. They believe the current reforms need to stop immediately, and that the NDIA, that's the National Disability Insurance Agency, they need to urgently work to repair trust with Aboriginal and Torres Strait people with disability. So there it is. So have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trevor Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbibrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we've got Across the Nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray call. Let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
And I'm dancing my song, jet passed by mob, as my mob are passing on, not forgotten. That's why I'm right in the wrong, so I can shorten the lungs and need the action and on. Call me the troublemaker, or when I the beat noter. My feelings are bitter, and I burnt heavier. And only some get peace, while none get pie. And if the cops are cooked, and I'm stubborn for a why, cause the food is poison, on the stomping ground of needles, trying to catch the sun. In a world underground, I may as well be 6 feet deep. How can I dance in a block of metal and concrete?
The dancer is dead, dancer is dead, dancer is dead, the young dancer is dead. The dancer is dead, dancer is dead, dancer is dead, the warrior is dead. The dancer is dead, dancer is dead, dancer is dead, the young dancer is dead. The dancer is dead, dancer is dead, dancer is dead, the warrior is dead.
Oppression, fragments of culture, and gather the pieces about history like a vulture. Without a story, how do we forgive, forget the past, when identity was stolen from a generation past? As we lose another youth to a noose in a jail cell, guarded by the truth they refuse to tell. So look at me, I'm a walking, talking statistic. Look at me and tell me something more realistic. The truth, I can handle it, use your imagination. Don't sugarcoat with words like reconciliation, cause I'm the finished product of the years of subjugation. So being who I am is my only motivation.
Dancer is dead, dancer is dead, dancer is dead, the young dancer is dead, dancer is dead, dancer is dead.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. A young dancer is dead, alive and well. The last connection here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say Yarn Up Strong. Got about 3 minutes left on the program. We're going to catch up with Selwyn. My brother, good morning.
Good morning, yeah, brother. Yeah, brother. A compliment, brother, the Arthur. Alec,
yeah,
brother.
Alec Dumiji, yeah. Fired up.
Yeah, brother, I made a panel. You know, people want to follow these arguments and this sort of thing. Have a look at Mary G, brother, at a Facebook site.
Yep.
And what Mary done was said that more full blood should have a say. Should have a say with this native title, and as anything about Wayne Bergman, he owns National Indigenous Time, and Anna Cross, she's a writer for the Indigenous Time, and they really had a go at Mary G. But I think Mary G. I reckon he come from a honourable place, a really good place. Mm. But for sure, brother, they like us to argue and. Anyway, check it out.
I'll do that.
When I know about all this kind of stuff, look at Mary G and look at the arguments that have gone on over there in the Kimberleys, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, my brother. So that's Selwyn there, and well, he recommends all of us to check out Mary G website in regard to the discussion I had there with Alec Dumiji, Aboriginal activist, chairman of the One Year Native Title Aboriginal Corporation, and just talk about the connection regarding Native Title organisation to PBC organisation, and feels that the government just creates havoc when they allow for different organisations to start up. But that's the yarn we had here, and it's come to a time where Murray got to sign off, you mob, here on this program, National Talk Black, for today. I'm back again tomorrow. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Back comes to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the NERS National Digital Radio Service. Otherwise, you might stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Thank you for your company. More importantly, stay safe. We are in a pandemic. Abide by the rules and look after yourself and your loved ones. Too deadly.